just to bring attention to the most recently created historic district, the Broadway Fillmore Historic District. That was created after many, many community meetings looking at, you know, what was going on there. They wanted and the community needed a way to some financial incentives to help them improve their buildings and to invest in their properties, but they also needed help in staying the increasing number of demolitions. And so for that community, it was logical to create not only a local level historic district, which because of that extra level of permit review, every demolition would have to go through the preservation board as well. We're also moving forward with getting that historic district certified, which would mean sending that historic district nomination to the National Park Service, where they will certify it, allowing that historic district to use historic tax credits. So now, once the National Park Service certifies that area, the Broadway Fillmore Historic District will not only have the protection of the local level designation, but then will also be able to use historic tax credits to improve their neighborhood.
So tell us about the different types of historic districts.
There are three types. The national level, there's the National Register of Historic Places. There's a state register of historic places. And then if a community has a preservation ordinance, they can have local landmarks and historic districts. For here in Buffalo, the Elmwood Village Historic District, it's actually the largest National Register Historic District in the state that is only designated at that federal level and at the state level as well. And then in Buffalo would be Hamlin Park is the local level district, Allentown.
It is true that a homeowner is not the sole decider of what kind of improvements can be made, correct?
Yep. So if you're in a local historic district, depending on the scope of work, you may have to go before the full preservation board, or it might be a staff approval if it's just really in-kind replace and repair. That's the goal, is to repair and replace in-kind. Things like repairing your roof and replacing your roof. If you currently have an asphalt shingle roof and you just want to put on a new asphalt shingle roof, that's repairing and replacing in-kind. And most likely, as long as you're not changing the form and size and massing of your roof, you should be able to get an easy approval for that. If you have a more historic material like shingles, slate shingles or wood shingles or something else, terracotta tiles, if you wanted to take those original historic materials and put a different type of material, that's changing. You're not repairing and replacing in kind. So that would have to have a little bit more of a review to it.
Many historic buildings use lead-based paint and other things that we've now found to be toxic. How does that figure into any improvements that a homeowner may want to make?
And again, I think that's another misconception. Historic districts at whatever level, it's not about turning your house or your neighborhood into a house museum. It's about preservation. It's about rehabilitation. It's about taking, recognizing that we value these resources and want to continue seeing them in our community. And how do we continue to have them? And we can't keep using lead paint. We can't keep using certain materials and methods from back in the day that maybe are just impossible to use now or aren't safe to use, asbestos and lead paint. But it's about how do we modify so we can continue to see these resources in our community.